4, and let's talk about three keys to living large. Isaiah 54, and let's begin in verse 1. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Look at verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your children will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will not fail. Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come speak to us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your presence here and your powerful word. Father, I pray you'd come now and breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen with me. Beloved, God's desire for you and me is to live large. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might live large. God's desire for you and me is not mediocre results. His desire for us is life more abundantly. God's desire for us is fruitfulness, growth, productivity, joy, bounty. His desire is that each one of us reach our full potential in Him. But how many of you know that that requires stretching? Being stretched isn't easy. Being stretched pushes us beyond the boundaries that we've set up in our minds, beyond where we imagined our breaking point could be. Can I tell you one thing that I have learned in life is that you can do more than you thought you could do. You can fly higher. You can go further. You can accomplish more than you thought you could. Stretching tests our mettle. Stretching sometimes is downright painful, but it is absolutely necessary if we're ever going to grow. I wonder if there's anyone else here this morning who's feeling just a little bit stretched. Maybe right now your finances, I see a hand, I see that hand. Right now, maybe your finances are stretched a little thin. Maybe your patience is stretched a little thin. Maybe you're not sure how much longer you can take it if your strength is going to hold out. Maybe right now you're just really stretched for time and you don't know how you're going to juggle all the responsibilities you have in your life. Maybe you're stretching to reach a goal, to finish a degree program or to complete a project or to make a career move or purchase a new home or take a relationship a step further. Maybe you're contemplating some major life decision and it's really stretching you right now. Stretching is not easy, but it is absolutely necessary for growth. I have to confess to you that this week, my faith was stretched. Pastor Chris and I and the rest of the ministry team have been working steadily on the Stanford satellite since the start of this year. And since April, we were in negotiations with a theater in Stanford to hold the satellite services. All the way through, the theater was very positive with us. In fact, it really looked like they were going to allow us to use the building for free. And then about 3 weeks ago, the climate started to change. You know how that goes in a relationship. All of a sudden, there's a little chill in the air. And last Sunday, while I was up here preaching, I know he can. I believe he will. But no matter what, I'm going to praise him. An email came to my inbox letting me know that the deal with that theater was completely dead. And I have to tell you the truth. I preached myself so happy last Sunday that it didn't really move me at first. But then on Monday, reality started setting in. Lord, we've scheduled a preview service in Stanford for September 19th. That's like 3 weeks away. We have another one October 3rd. Our launch date is October 17th. We have more than 80 people committed to this thing. We have some kids who quit their job and moved here to volunteer their gifts. We want to start with 100 people, and we have nowhere to meet. And Tuesday, Pastor Chris and I spent the entire day in Stanford in the heat pounding the pavement, and we got turned away from place after place. We went to UConn. We went to the Stanford Library. We went to theaters, restaurants, bars. Yes, bars. We went to banquet rooms, dance studios. We went to empty storefronts, and we turned up nothing. And finally, at the end of the day, we sat down on a bench on Bedford Street, and my faith was really struggling. I didn't say anything to Pastor Chris because his faith was really strong. But I sat down on that bench and I said, God, why are we doing this? Whose bright idea was this anyway? Why did I ever get us into this? See, it would be so much easier to just play it safe. It would be so much easier, Steve, if we would just stop taking these outrageous risks of faith. Things are going pretty good here. Do you know we have 6 weekend services between the English and the Spanish church? We have over 1,200 people that worship here every weekend. That's pretty good. I suppose if we would just stop stretching for more, life would be pretty comfortable. And then God reminded me of what I've prayed every day for the last 10 years from Exodus 33:13. God, consider that we are your people. Consider that we are willing to pay the price to be your instruments of salvation in the world, and especially right here in this region. God, it's not enough for us to just enjoy your blessings. We want to be a blessing. It's not enough for us to just live in comfort. We want to give comfort. God, consider we are your people. If you're going to do anything in Greenwich, if you're going to do anything in Lower Fairfield County and Westchester County, we want in on the ground floor. God reminded me, sitting on that bench, that he hasn't called us to be comfortable. He's called us to be fruitful. He's called us to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that endures. He's called us to be ever increasingly productive, to ever stretch for more. That was the heart of the Apostle Paul. He said to the Philippians, I stretch forward to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I want to tell you, when God saved you because he loved you, but he didn't save you for you alone. He saved you to become an instrument of salvation to others. And Paul said, I refuse to give up until I take hold of that thing. I'm going to keep stretching until I take hold of that thing for which he took hold of me. Why am I stretching for Stanford? Why am I asking you to stretch with me? Whether you're going to Stanford or whether you're staying here on the Greenwich campus, I'm going to tell you that this project is a stretch for all of us. Why are we stretching our financial resources and our people resources? I want you to know that the general fund is getting mighty low. Our ministries are stretched for volunteers right now. Why are we doing this? Not because it's easy, not because it's comfortable, but because it's necessary for the kingdom to grow. Beloved, I believe that I have a word from the Holy Spirit for somebody in this place today. I'm sharing a corporate word about stretching today, but there's a personal word from the Holy Spirit for somebody here. Don't stop stretching for more. Don't get too comfortable. Stretch forward to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of you. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you resign yourself to mediocre results. The best is not behind you. The best is yet to come. A couple of years ago, when Harvest Time started the season of rapid growth that we're still in, the Holy Spirit led me to Isaiah 54, and he gave me some keys for living large. He gave me some keys for how to grow bigger successfully. I'm going to apply these to the growth of harvest time this morning, but you can apply them to any area of your life where you have the desire to grow and expand, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your ministry, whatever it might be, you can take these things and apply these to your life today. But let me share with you some keys to living large. The first key I find in Isaiah 54:2 is this. If you want to live large, you must start by driving your stakes deeper. Driving your stakes deeper. It says in Isaiah 54:2, strengthen your stakes. Beloved, if you're going to make the tent bigger, if you're going to make the house bigger, if you're going to expand, the first thing you need to do is to make the foundation firm. What stakes represent is values. You know, when we really started to grow, I began to get scared. Harvest time is such an awesome place. It was an awesome place when we got here. The hardest part of my job being the senior pastor over the last 11 years maybe is not messing it up. This is a great church, and Denise and I feel so honored and blessed to be part of it with the rest of you. We had such a great time on sabbatical visiting so many different expressions of the local body. And every place we went, we met wonderful people of God. And we were so excited in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut about what God is doing in the region. But after we left every church, Denise and I just smiled and shook our heads. And we said, you know, there's no place like harvest time. And when we began to grow, I was afraid that perhaps growth would change that. All the growth in the world, it means nothing to me if it causes harvest time to stop being the great place that it is. So I began to ask myself, what makes harvest time harvest time? What are the non-negotiables? What are the qualities that must never change no matter how big we grow? And I came up with four core values that I'm going to share with you quickly. This is all part of our membership class, so I know we have guests here today and we welcome you, but I hope by what I share, perhaps it'll give you a little insight into what we believe God has called us to as a congregation. I want to share our four core values very quickly, but I want to say that you can apply this principle to your own situation as you grow, as you expand, whether it's in your family or whether it's in your career or your ministry. Ask yourself, what are the non-negotiables? What are the qualities, the values that must remain the same? As you think about raising your kids, moms and dads, what are your core values as a family? As you contemplate a new job offer, what are your core values and how does this new opportunity look in light of those? Here are our four core values. The first one is love. From the very beginning, love has been part of our DNA at harvest time. We got it from our spiritual father, Pastor Tate, who I believe is one of the most loving men I've ever known in the kingdom of God. People tell us all the time when they come and visit and become part of our family that they can feel what a loving place this is. Can I tell you? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that. Only God can create an atmosphere, an environment like that. And it's so important to us. Beloved, listen to me. No matter how big Greenwich ever grows, no matter how big Stanford ever grows or other satellite campuses, it's so absolutely important to me that every person who walks through our doors understand that they are important to God. It's so important that they understand that they matter, that God loves them intimately and personally. You know what David said? David said, he knows when I lay down on my bed. He knows when I wake up again. He says, before I even think a thought, he already knows it. That blows my mind, David said. He knows you so intimately. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Guys, he knows how many used to be there. My daughter was learning her letters in kindergarten last year. She came home one day from kindergarten. She grabbed me by the shoulders and looked me in the face. And she said, Daddy, your hair is an M. Ladies, don't laugh because he knows what color your hair really is. Everybody in Father's house gets treated with dignity. Everybody gets treated with respect, no matter what walk of life they're from, no matter what country of the world they come from. Everybody is important. And that's so important to me, that whatever happens with harvest time, no one ever forgets that. The second value that the Holy Spirit gave me was life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. If you want to know what it means to be a Spirit-filled church, it means we simply believe that the Bible is true when it says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still doing the things in the lives of men and women that he did in the pages of the Bible. Jesus still rescues. Jesus still delivers. Jesus still saves. Jesus still heals. Jesus still baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit means that we believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are good for all believers. Can I tell you that God only gives good gifts? That's what James says. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of glory. God only gives good gifts. And if God has a good gift that he wants to give me, then I guess I'm just really greedy. I want it. I want it all. I never really understand that line of thought when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I never really understand that line of thought that says, well, that might be good for you, but it's not for me. If it's good, it's good for everybody. And if it's good for you, it's good for me too, and I want it. Thank you. One of you is with me. Life in the Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is essential to the life of the church. The unity that we have here at Harvest Time, you think about how amazing. There is not, in Greenwich, Connecticut, there is not another church that is as diverse as this one in every way. Racially, socioeconomically, in every way. And yet we come together and we're one family and there's such wonderful bonds of affection and unity. That happens only because of the Holy Spirit here. It's the bond of unity that the Holy Spirit brings. Now we have a job to do to endeavor to maintain it. But we rely on the Spirit. We rely on his guidance. If you want to know the truth, I've been doing this for 11 years. I didn't know what I was doing on the first day, and I still don't know what I'm doing now. It's true. If you knew how true it was, you'd be scared, very scared. But I sit in my chair, and I look out the window, and I pray. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, then I know what to do. Life in the Spirit. A third value, core value, is partnership in the harvest. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that we are living in the most exciting time ever on the earth. Sometimes I read the Bible and I think, oh man, why couldn't I be alive then? I would have loved to have seen the Red Sea split in two. I would have loved to have been there on the day that they dedicated the temple and the Shekinah glory of God fell on that place so that the priests couldn't even stand up and minister anymore. I would have loved to have walked through the wilderness with Jesus and ate the bread that he blessed and multiplied in his hand. But I want to tell you this is the most exciting time ever to be alive in the history of the world, because this is harvest time. Jesus said, look at things with a new perspective. The harvest is on. All over the world, the Spirit of God is moving. Do you know, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people became followers of Jesus Christ. Now, today in the world, every 29 minutes, 3,000 people more become followers of Jesus Christ. The harvest is on. And beloved, listen to me. If it's harvest time in Asia, it's harvest time in Greenwich. If it's harvest time in Africa, it's harvest time in Stanford. If it's harvest time in the former Soviet Union, it's harvest time in Fairfield County. If it's harvest time anywhere in the world, it's harvest time in Westchester County. This is harvest time. That's why, Pastor Chris, we're going to be fruitful in Stanford. That's why we're going to reach people for Jesus. The harvest is on, and God has called us to be partners in the harvest. That's why we stretch ourselves. You know what? The treasury's a little low right now and makes us all a little stressed out. But to be honest with you, If Jesus called for us all today, I don't want to go home and answer the question, why didn't you spend every last cent you had reaching the lost? My old Bible school president used to say, I'm not leaving anything behind for the Antichrist. And I appear to be following in his footsteps. That's why we do missions. That's why we can't stop building churches. We need a new church. I don't know in the last 27 years how many buildings we've built all over the world, but we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop drilling wells. We're not going to stop supporting orphans. We're not going to stop rescuing girls out of the sex slave industry. We're not going to stop because we're partners in the harvest. Third core value that the Lord gave me was growth. And I have to tell you that when God speaks to me, a lot of times he'll give me a single word or a phrase in my spirit, and I don't always know what it means when I get it. So I have to pray for more revelation. And if I really get stuck, then I go ask Pastor Nick. But when the Holy Spirit was giving me these things, love, life in the Spirit, partnership in the harvest, and growth, when he gave me that word, I have to say to you, it didn't feel quite right. You remember Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. I said, Lord, I understand how love and life in the Spirit, and I understand how those are values, but how is growth a value? The Holy Spirit began speaking to me, and here's what that means. Growth as a value means that we understand that what God expects from us is fruitfulness. Beloved, God expects us to bear fruit. All right, well, maybe 11:30. Well, God expects us to bear fruit. In John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. And he said, both of us are vigorously at work to make sure that you bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. Jesus said, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, guess what? But every branch in me that does bear fruit, my Father prunes so that it'll bear more fruit. I am the true vine. Without me, you can't do anything. But if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. I have chosen you. You didn't pick me. I picked you. And I have ordained you to bear fruit that remains. Growth as a value means that we understand that God doesn't expect us to just sit here and be blessed till Jesus comes back. He expects us to grow. Growth as a value means that we believe that Jesus is the Savior of all men. Beloved, listen to me. Jesus did not say, I am a way. Jesus did not say, I am the best way. Jesus said, I am the way, the one and only way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Growth is a value means that we really believe that. It really means that it doesn't matter how nice our neighbor is. It doesn't matter if our friend has a good heart. It doesn't matter what a good person Aunt Sally is. If they don't receive Jesus now, they will spend eternity without him. Growth as a value means we believe that. Can I tell you, we're not big enough. We're not big enough because there's just too many people who need to know Jesus. There's too many more. 4 services, 6 services, 7 services in Stanford. It's not enough because there's more that need to know him. Growth as a value means that our theology is of an ever-expanding kingdom. Don't have any time to talk about it. Growth as a value means we're not afraid to seek goals, qualitative and quantitative. And growth as a value, listen, means that we're willing to take risks. Means that we're willing to apply ourselves. It means that we're willing to spend money to reach more people for Jesus. It means, Pastor Chris, that we're willing to spend a week in the hot sun pounding the pavement. means that we're willing to fast and to pray. It means that we're willing to sit at a desk and beg God for a return phone call or an email with some better news. It means we're willing to stretch. If you want to live large, dig your stakes. What are the non-negotiables? What are the core values for your marriage, for your family, for your life, for your career? What are the things that must not change? If you want to grow large, you must determine those things. Secondly, second key to living large, expand your structures. Expand your structures. A second instruction in Isaiah 54:2, make your tent bigger. He says, drive your stakes in, strengthen your stakes. And secondly, he says, lengthen your cords. The cords make up the structure of a tent. They support the fabric covering of the tent. And if you're going to grow, if you're going to expand, then it's necessary for you to evaluate your structure. You might need to restructure. You'll definitely need to expand your structure. You know, one of the structures that needs to be expanded is the structure of our minds. The patterns of thinking, the expectations that hold us back from the exceedingly abundantly that God has planned for us. Can I tell you that usually whatever it is we dream up, you know why? That's why it's just better to yield to the Lord and to give over control and let Him be in the driver's seat. Because usually the things that we've prepared, we've thought up or dreamed for ourselves are just far short of whatever it is God's planned for us. We received a prophetic word one time a while back ago. The Holy Spirit said to us, don't even plan how big you think harvest time might be able to grow, given the size of your property and the number of seats in your sanctuary and the number of years you've been in ministry and the number of years you might have left. Don't even make plans, because whatever you come up with will be far short of what God has in mind. Beloved, sometimes we need to let the Holy Spirit blow up the structures in our minds that are limiting and holding us back from what He has planned. The Bible says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the wonderful things God has prepared for those of us who love Him. Not only the structures in our minds, but the structures of our lives need to be expanded. There are two challenges. Number one, to identify tasks, and number two, to identify talent. What needs to be done and who is the best pick for it? Can I tell you that you can apply this to your professional life? You can apply this to your family life. Denise and I find that as our children grow, as our family is growing, we find that we have to sit down and reassess our structures all the time and expand them. And my wife is a master at this. She is a master at identifying what needs to be done and who needs to do it. But as it relates to the Harvest Time satellite, we've had to expand our leadership structure. We've brought on three new staff members in order to make Stanford happen. Pastor David and Ashley Caminiti have come on to replace Pastor Chris in youth ministry and young adult ministry. Pastor Danny Vincent moved down here a week ago, and we got him settled in an apartment this week. Pastor Kimmy Foster is here with us. She's going to be here on weekends for the next few weeks until she transitions out of her job at Zion Bible College. These two excellent young people have quit paying ministry jobs to come here and volunteer their ministry services and find jobs in the community and work to support themselves. We thank God we found a free apartment, wonderful little apartment in downtown Stanford for Pastor Kimmy this week. And we thank God for that. We've also added new ministry leaders at the Stanford Satellite. Pastor Chris is going to come and he's going to introduce them to all of you in just a moment. But I want to say that the launch of the Stanford Satellite is creating need over here in Greenwich. We have a big team, over 80 people that are going over to help us launch Stanford, and they are leaving all kinds of vacancies here in Greenwich. How many of you need a job right now? We have job opportunities. Pay isn't much, but the retirement benefits are out of this world. We need you to become part of the expanding structure. I want you to look in your bulletin. There's a flyer. It says Volunteer Vision Night. And I want to challenge you. We need help here in Greenwich, and we need help in Stanford. I want to challenge you, if harvest time is your home, then I want to challenge you to get involved with serving. And this is what I want to ask you to do. Today, I want to ask you to take a look at this flyer that says Volunteer Vision Night. I want to ask you to tick off one or two of these boxes. And there are offering baskets on either side of the back door. And on your way out, I want you to leave this in an offering basket so that we can give it to a ministry leader and they can be prepared to meet you this coming Wednesday evening at Volunteer Vision Night. We need help with ushers and greeters, welcome center, parking lot, maintenance. You know, we have about 1,200 people roughly who pass through the building every weekend. And then we have all the visits Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, which is easily another 1,000. This little building takes a beating from the number of people who just pass through in a week. And Homer needs some help with maintenance, communion, office help. If you have some gifts there, hospitality, children's ministry. We need help with worship team. We need musicians and singers for Greenwich and for Stamford to cover the need. Pastor Dan McCauley will be meeting with folks this Wednesday evening. If you're interested in joining worship team, he's going to meet with you this Wednesday, and you can sign up for auditions. Now, listen to me. You have to actually be able to play an instrument or actually be able to sing. If you fall in the category of making a joyful noise, then you can sit on the front row with me, and we'll get along great together. But Pastor Dan will kick you out. So, but if you want to be involved, people say to me all the time, my equipped students come and they say, Pastor Glenn, I don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, the best way to find out is to get in anywhere. Sign up and get involved anywhere. And by the process of elimination, you will discover what your gifts are. And I can promise you, you will discover what your gifts are not. If kids' ministries are not your gift, you'll find out quickly. And that's all right. Would you sign up? Would you become part of the expanding structure and be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening? A third key I find, drive your stakes deeper. Expand your structures. A third key I find to living life large is stretch yourself. Stretch yourself and don't hold back. Beloved, I believe I have a word from the Holy Spirit for somebody in this place today. Push yourself to try again. In fact, that's what Isaiah 54 is all about. It's a word of encouragement to people who had failed. God is encouraging them to try again. Push yourself to try again. Somebody once said, if at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not the sport for you. If at first you don't succeed, try again. There's a word from the Holy Spirit, try again. You tried it, you didn't get the results you expected. You tried it, the outcomes were disappointing. You tried it and you failed. The Holy Spirit is telling you, stretch yourself, push yourself to try again, and push yourself to try new things. Push yourself to try the things you were always too afraid to try. Push yourself to try the things you swore you'd never try. And don't hold back. Listen to me, whatever you do, give it your all. Try your hardest. Apply all your strength. Apply all your skill. Apply all your wisdom. Apply all your ability. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it to the glory of God. Live life large. Enlarge the place of your tent. Strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, stretch your curtains wide. Don't hold back. Harvest Time Church, you will spread out to the right and to the left. Harvest Time Church, our spiritual children will dispossess Stamford. Don't be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Don't fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will not fail. Pastor Chris and Kate Gamble and I worked our hearts out this week, and my faith was stretched. At 10 minutes to 2 on Friday, before Labor Day weekend, I got an email in my inbox, and it was an invitation to bring the Stamford satellite to another property a block away from the one we lost. Only this one's bigger. And this one has more room for children's ministry, and it's got much more parking. And the price they offered it to us for was half of what I was praying for, which is half of what a realtor had quoted to us. I knew he could. I believed he would. And thank God he did. In just one moment, I'm going to invite Pastor Chris to come to introduce the Stanford launch team to you. But I want to very quickly talk about some nuts and bolts. I know we have guests here today. We welcome you. And I hope you'll just bear with us as we just share some nuts and bolts about how Stanford is going to work. Satellite campuses are being used extensively across the country, mostly in the South and the Midwest and the West. How many of you know here in New York and New England, we're a little slower on the uptake sometimes to change our traditional ways? When my wife and I moved here in 1996, we came from the Midwest, and we could not believe that banks still closed at 4:30 in the afternoon. And grocery stores closed at 8 o'clock at night. In the Midwest, even in the mid-90s, the banks were in the supermarkets and they were all open all night long. Sometimes we're a little slower to embrace some trends, but they're being used everywhere and very successfully. The Stanford Satellite will host Sunday morning worship services. They will probably be at 9:30 in the morning. The worship will be live. Pastor Danny Vincent will be leading a team of musicians and singers. The sermon is going to be recorded here in Greenwich, and it's going to be shown on a big screen in Stanford. So we're all going to be receiving the same vision and the same word of the Lord. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Pastor Chris is going to continue preaching here at the main campus, as he does on occasion. Pastor Nick will be preaching. I might pop up in Stanford here and there. And so we'll just mix it all up a little bit. We'll be doing children's ministry on Sunday mornings in Stanford. Pastor Kim Foster will be leading a team of volunteers. We'll offer infant and toddler nursery, kinder church, and children's church. During the weekdays, the Stanford Satellite will share resources here with the main campuses. So we'll be inviting the Stanford worshipers to participate in the Tuesday night adult discipleship programs. We'll be inviting families from Stanford Satellite to take advantage of Royal Rangers and Missionettes and youth group here on the main campus on Wednesdays. Young adults, we're going to have them check out Collision and Gateway 30s here at the main campus. And Pastor Chris is also going to be organizing adult discipleship groups, especially for the Stanford people. So there's lots for Stanford to choose from. Beloved, it's very important that we understand that once we launch the Stanford Satellite, we're not going to be two churches. We're going to remain one family meeting in two locations. The Stanford Satellite is not a new church. It's a new location for Harvest Time Church. Members of the Stanford Satellite are members of Harvest Time Church. We only have one body of members. We'll ask the worshipers in Stanford to attend the annual business meeting and other members' meetings that we have here on the main campus. Membership classes will be here on the main campus. All of the money given to the Stanford Satellite will go into the regular Harvest Time Church accounts, whether it's general fund or building fund or missions. Our church board oversees the distribution of all of our finances, and it will oversee all of the ministry activity at Stanford, just as it does here in Greenwich. We thank God for our board. They are our covering, and our board will cover both Harvest Time campuses. Pastor Chris and Jeanette are the Stanford campus pastors. They'll oversee all the Sunday morning ministries in Stanford. Pastor Chris is going to be leading the transitions in the services and the altar time at the end of the sermon in Stanford. He'll also be doing pastoral care for all of the folks that attend the Stanford campus. Pastor Chris and Jeanette will remain as members of our Harvest Time staff, serving under my leadership. Pastor Chris's office will remain here at the Greenwich campus, and he'll continue to participate in all of the other things that the staff members of the church do. I want to say one final word about Stanford Satellite as Pastor Nick is coming. Our vision is that this will be the first of several satellite campuses. Pastor Chris is not only in charge of the Stanford campus specifically, but he's spearheading the whole satellite campus project. And so we're praying about White Plains. We're praying about New Rochelle. We're praying about Danbury. And we're praying about some of the other major population centers here in this region so that the Lord will give us fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains in this whole region. There are lots of people that need to know Jesus, and that's why we're stretching ourselves. Amen. Pastor Chris, would you come, please? And I want you to introduce this Stanford satellite team, and then we're all going to pray together. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. It is such a thrill, such a joy to see what God's doing. Both here, and Jeanette's going to join me, and we're going to introduce to you some of our leadership team that are coming along with us, and we're just so grateful for them. As you have heard already, leading worship for us is Pastor Danny Vincent, and Danny's going to be coming. Please give Danny a hand as he comes. Praise the Lord. Also, leading children's ministries is Pastor Kim Foster. Amen. Working underneath Pastor Kim are our children's directors, Jimmy Fox and Lachey Alford. They're actually downstairs right now, but we give them a hand. We have Keith and Danny Phillips that are coming to us. They're going to be helping and leading us with our small group ministries and coordinators. Our head of prayer teams is Lisa Schofield. Lisa's here with us this morning. Praise the Lord. We have two fantastic women that are coming on board to help us with administration. We have Kathy Wade and Kelly Robertson, and I think Kelly's here with us today. With hospitality, we have Barbara Tai and Lindsay Parrott. She's going to be here with us. No, I'm sorry, Penny. Also, Lisa Shrillo is our head greeter. She's going to be joining us there in Stanford. John Schofield is coming as our head usher. Paul and Denise Conzo are coming with us. Paul is going to be leading our sound. He's going to be our sound engineer, and we have Carlos Caraballo is coming to lead all of our AV and tech. Our head of web development is David Wolferson, and he's with us this morning, and helping all the materials in and out. Thank you. Come on up, Sylvia. You can come too. Chad Smith is with us. He's going to be our production manager, meaning he's going to be setting up and tearing out the equipment each and every week with his team. Give Chad a hand as he comes forward. We have Iris and Sarah Hawkins to be helping us with communion on a monthly basis and heading up the communion teams. Thank you, Iris, for your service. And there are others that are with us today, support staff, help. There are many of you that are here. Would you please stand and just join us up here at front if you're coming with us to Stanford? I'm sorry, if you're coming with us to Stanford, would you please join us up front here and so we can pray? Praise the Lord. Give them all a hand, would you?
Come on, everybody stand to your feet if you would, please. Come on, Pastor Nick, help us out. Your name is a strong and mighty tower.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save.
Of our board members that are here in the service with us, would you come quickly? Board members and any of our prayer teams that are with us in the service, would you come quickly? And I want you to come and lay hands on this launch team from Stanford Satellite. Now, I want you guys to look. This is a lot of empty seats, and they're not all here. So that means that we have seats to fill up here in Greenwich. Amen? We have people. You have family members and neighbors and coworkers and people you meet on the street who need to know Jesus, so you need to help us fill up there. So we're going to pray, and I want the board members to come and lay hands, and I want to ask all of you to stretch your hands forward on these things. Kate Gamble, I'm going to ask you, first of all, we have received an invitation from this other property, but we need to finalize the agreement. We need to get ink on it and seal all those things up. So, Kate, I'm going to ask you to pray, first of all, that the Lord would just give us favor to seal the deal and to finish the agreement with this property. Would you lead us in prayer for that? And we're going to pray. Come on, church, stretch your hands out towards this group, and let's join our faith together, and let's pray for these things. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you will take this all the way to the finish line, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that every stumbling block that gets thrown in our path, you will turn to a stepping stone, Lord, to your purposes and your plans, Lord. We pray ultimate favor upon this project, Lord, upon this satellite church, Lord, favor upon every person who's to make decision, Lord. Lord, that they would be just compelled and prompted, Lord, to want to help us, Lord, to want to do what it takes, Lord, to make this thing happen, Lord, that they won't even understand what it is, Lord, that's wanting them to be involved, Lord, but they, by supernatural intervention of your hand, Lord,
thank you,
will
Jesus.
Help us, God, take this to where it needs to go, Lord, that every official, Lord, every decision-making person, Lord, will be the ones, Lord, that will just be excited and, Lord, filled with just an amazement of what your power and your hand will do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the open doors, the ones that will fly open before us, Lord. We walk forward in faith, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you in one agreement, in one accord, Lord, for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Andrew, I'm gonna ask that you would pray for Pastor Chris and Jeanette and for Pastor Danny and for Pastor Kim, that the Lord would provide everything that is needed for them. We thank God. Pastor Danny got an apartment. Pastor Kimmy, we have a beautiful free apartment downtown Stanford. Needs a little painting and a little TLC, but it is a great apartment. And these two still need jobs. Pastor Chris and Jeanette, they have needs that they're believing God for. So let's just pray. Would you stretch your hands one more time towards these? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father,
we're thankful for the leadership of Chris and Jeanette and their family, God. Lord, we're thankful for their fruitfulness here. Lord, we send them out knowing that you will keep them fruitful, Lord. That they will remain in you. They will remain in the vine. And they will continue to bear fruit, Lord. Father, we thank you for the faithfulness of this team, God. I pray that you would unite them by your Holy Spirit. That they would see Stanford the same way you see it. The same way Pastor Glenn sees it, God. That there would be unity. That your blessing would be poured out, God. That the personalities would just blend, God. We thank you for Pastor Danny coming here, Lord, to serve you, God. Make him fruitful. That's his desire, God. Make him fruitful for you, Lord, so that what he does would bear fruit each day. Thank you for Pastor Kimmy, Lord, and her heart to minister to children, God. Let the children of Stanford be attracted to her,
Jesus.
Lord. Let them just
Jesus.
Desire to listen to her,
Jesus.
Talk about you and your kingdom,
Jesus.
And, Lord, the love that is there,
Jesus.
God. And, Father, I pray for the families that are represented
Jesus.
Here, for the Willis family, for their kids, God. We pray your protection over them, God. We pray your covering over them, Lord. We pray your covering over each family represented here, Lord. And Father, we just ask that your word would be alive in Chris and Jeanette's mouth, Lord. That your leading would be alive, that they would hear the voice of your spirit like they've never heard it before. For altar times, for pastoral care, God. That we would see them do greater things than even you did on the earth, Lord, as you said we would do. By the power of your Holy Spirit, bless them, God, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. 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 Steve Gamble, I'm going to ask you to pray in 1 minute for a great harvest in Stanford and this whole region. But I want to say this. I want you to keep your eyes on this couple right here. I want you to keep your eyes on them. They moved from across the river, from across the Tappan Zee Bridge. They moved to an apartment in Stanford, changed jobs, and Danny and Keith, I just want to say to you that God is activating and stirring up in you the gift of ministry that he's put inside of you. He's fanning it into flame. Father, thank you for this young couple, Jesus. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, thank you for stirring up the gift of God within them, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for an impartation, Lord Jesus, from the Spirit of God into this young man and this young woman, into this couple. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for breaking up, Lord, inside of the fountains of deep, Lord God. Lord, wells, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a new joy. I thank you for a fresh anointing, Lord, falling over this couple. I thank you, God, in this season, Lord, for making them fruitful for ministry, Lord God. Father, I thank you for going before them, Lord God. Thank you for the courageous steps of faith that they've made, Lord. God, changing states and homes, Lord, and jobs, Lord Jesus, to come be part of this work. Father, in Jesus' name, would you open up over them the window of heaven, Lord God, and pour upon them, Lord Jesus. We ask in your name. Thank you, Father. Stretch your hands, and Steve, come on, lead us in prayer for harvest in Stanford, for harvest in this whole region. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, oh God, upon this district, upon this town, upon this generation, oh God, upon this county. Lord, I lift up Fairfield County, Stanford, Connecticut, oh God. Stanford is a good city, oh God. We declare it to be God's good city. We declare Stanford as an influence for Christ the King. Father, in Jesus' name, we seek souls, oh God. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity you've given us, oh God, to join the effort, the desperate effort to seek and save the lost, oh God, to extend the hand of Christ the King, oh God, to the purposes of his kingdom. Now, Father, I pray the hearts of these people will be touched by your spirit. Everyone here in the front, the hearts of your people will be touched and enlarged. Father, I pray that you give these people the Father's heart. The Father's heart for the lost child. Father, that heart of desperation. Jesus, desperation, an issue between life and death. Oh God, speak clearly to your servants here today. We are discussing life and death. May they, oh God, take that gift of life and use it for those who you have ordained and declared from the foundation of the world. Oh God, not one wouldn't be left behind, but all would come. Not one would be left behind. Through this church harvest time, this team of effort, oh God, we bless this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. Sing it one more time. Your name is a strong and mighty tower.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power.
Come on, your name, Jesus.
Your name is a strong and is a shelter light.